This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free in terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Well, there you have it. We actually won a game at home. Who knew? Who knew such a thing could happen? Well, there we go. We win 1-0, a goal from Ryan Andrews, but a game I don't think that will live long in the memory. But it's a win is a win is a win. I think that's the important stuff. As ever, let us know what you want to mention. I'm sorry for starting late, everybody, but I've stayed around for the Young Player of the Season Award and the Player of the Season Award. The Young Player of the Season went to Yasser Asprilla on an afternoon where I thought he didn't put much right, personally. I was amazed that it took him so long to be taken off. I was surprised, also after his first half, that Young Greaves got taken off. But taken off, he did get, and his replacement at Ryan Andrews came back, looked fresher than he had for quite a while, and gets the goal. So that's got to be chalked up to a big credit there for, surely, for Cleves in terms of all of that. You know, he can't really be questioned. He finally got the result after being permanently positioned for the first time, which is excellent. Also, really interestingly, was when he was Cleves came out and said a few words. And if you didn't catch it on Hive Live, or if you're on your way back, or what have you, he came out and mentioned that Jimmy Gilligan will be returning to his post with the academy, and he's going to be there trying to make sure that the line through from the academy to the first team is going to be something needed. So, you know, that's something to take a look at, see what we all think. Let's get to Rich WFC2 before we look at other things. But as ever, come on, let us know what you want to talk about. It's been a long time since we had a win at home to talk about. But what do we think about the game? What do we think about the performance? Player of the season was Mr. Wesley Hoot, who not only accepted his award, he also translated for Yasser Asprilla. There you go. Rich, sir. So how are you? What did you make of the first home win for a very long time, it felt?
A win's a win, as someone once said. Yeah, it was a hard watch, let's face it. You know, it's so poor, you know, and the home fare this season has been just terrible. And it was a very poor game, and I don't want to sound down, and we've won the game and I'm pleased, but there was quite a few passengers in that Watford team today, and a few people that I really don't think will be around next year. And I'm struggling to find anything positive about what I saw out on the pitch today. I must admit, it really was a game of attrition, and Sunderland couldn't score in the first half, and they never looked like they were going to score ever again come the second half. Just luckily for us, because we seemed to just sit back with two banks of, well, almost five, and, you know, and just soak it up. And yeah, we got the win, thank goodness. And that was the important thing. And that was what today was all about. We needed a win and fair play. But yeah, there's a lot of work to do there to be competitive next season. Okay, the plus sides, Tom's record's looking decent. He's no fool. He's going to see it for himself. He must be quite gutted that he didn't get the performance again today when it was so important. You know, I imagine he would be, you know, pleased with the win. But yeah, it wasn't great watch. And there was long periods of that game where it was just bafflingly bad. I would like to understand, though, the one key decision of the game where, you know, how does Luke 09 not get sent off? He's not only saved the ball with both hands with a Watford player clean through, and he gets a booking, and I just staggers me beyond belief, unless I've misseen it, but I've only seen it the once. I've not seen it back. I've no idea how that's not a red card, and I thought that was disgraceful from the referee and, you know, could have turned the game. But, yeah, I thought that was poor.
Well, I thought the ref was odd because, and first of all, credit to the Sunderland supporter, the long-suffering Sunderland support, who came along and made a noise, but their team seemed intent on simply wasting time and doing nothing much else from about 10 minutes in. And frankly, I think that support deserved more of a let's go and get it effort, especially in the first half where it was peculiar. The sending off or the lack of it for Luke 09, known obviously very well in these pastures. I think because the ball was, the only thing I can think of was the ball was angling from the centre to the left for Sunderland a little bit. So whether or not he would have been through and if it was a clear goal scoring opportunity from that far out, obviously he was running in, he got caught, and it would be considered as a good booking to take, very much so. But I can understand a little bit about that. What I couldn't understand was the not picking up any of the Sunderland first half time wasting. Which ended up with 2 minutes of extra time, apparently, which was very, very strange. And then when we're ahead, you know, suddenly we're adding the 4 minutes on for them. That's always one of those things. I'm sure we'll always debate the ref. But, you know, yes. It was not, as I say, it was not a game to live long in the memory.
I didn't stay around at the end of these lap of appreciation nonsense, in my opinion, but particularly the awards. And did you say that Asprilla got Young Player of the Season or something?
Asprilla got Young Player of the Season, which,
wow.
Well, obviously he had those run of goals. I thought he had a supremely frustrating afternoon watching him, and
Pete, he didn't want to be there.
I'm astounded he wasn't removed at half time.
I was astounded too, as I was Ken Semmer. There's people on here moaning about Lewis, and I understand that. But I tell you, Ken Semmer was rubbish, absolute rubbish today. And I know he's coming back from an injury, but I don't care. If the manager feels he's fit enough to start, you need to put some effort in. And he was dreadful, I thought. How he came out for the second half, I've no idea. I thought Asprilla didn't care, didn't have any interest. He can't tackle. He's one-footed. I won't be sorry to see him go. God knows how much money they'll get for him, probably because of the stupidity of football these days. You know, with a bit of luck, we get about 20 million for him, and it will be the best 20 million we'll ever get, because I just don't see it. He might be better in better players, but I just think I just don't think his heart's in it enough. And unless he's got, you know, acres of space around him, then, you know, he can do something. But when anyone gets tight to him or whatever, I just don't see it. I'm disappointed with him. I thought he was poor again. And I think when his teammates needed him today, he went missing. And as like you, I'm astounded he came out for the second half. But they're the negatives. There wasn't many great performances today. The defence was solid enough. I thought Hoot was good again. Mm-hmm. You know, he deserves the player of the season. He's played practically every minute, so he obviously deserves it. I'm assuming he got that. And did I hear you say something about Jimmy Gilligan not stepping up?
Yeah, so I did stay back for it just to see if there was anything mentioned. So apologies, everybody, if you were sitting there waiting, going, what on earth is he doing this time? But yeah, he is stepping back to his academy role, and he's going to concentrate on obviously trying to make sure the throughput coming through from the academy into the first team, which I think we all know is therefore going to increase in importance. As the money dwindles, growing our own becomes only ever more important. So he's going to be doing that, which then brings us back to that particular question that we have been debating for the last couple of weeks, really, in terms of talking about who we might actually bring in that everybody says it, Bertie Mee, Keith Birkinshaw style of role, which will be an interesting thing to see. But Tom himself, when he was interviewed, because obviously this week he has been given the role permanently, he actually did talk about what he was expecting to do and what he thought the team was going to be looking like. So let's have a quick couple of listens for a few bits from Tom, and then I'll come back to you after this, Rich, just to find out what your thoughts are on this.
it's really sunk in when the pen hit the paper and I would be the permanent manager of the football club. Really significant moment in my career, and to do it at a club that means so much to me, I'm feeling very proud, but all focus quickly turned to progressing the team and forward planning.
Has it felt different? I know it's only been a day or so from being a caretaker to a permanent. It's a big thing, actually, isn't it?
It's a little bit more exciting, if I'm honest. As I said, when I came into the job, all focus is on the next game, and that'll be the same. But the exciting part now for me is to plan for next year, to plan a squad, to plan a pre-season. I think it'll be a huge period for us to set the foundations. I see a lot of scope for improvement in our squad, and I'm really looking forward to pre-season and being ready for the next year.
For this kind of 5-6 weeks, it feels like you've really enjoyed it. That seems to have been the impression you've given us. Is that how it's felt?
Yeah, and that's massive credit to the players I've been working with. They've made it a lot easier for me, the way they've applied themselves, they've fought for the results, they defended their goal, they've turned up and trained the way we play. So that makes the job really, really enjoyable. And the exciting thing moving forward is I think there's a lot more progression in us, there's a lot more learning in us. The more they learn our ways of wanting to play, I think we've got an exciting time ahead.
Is it going to feel different when you walk out as the permanent manager rather than the caretaker in front of that crowd?
I suppose it will, yeah. I'm still addressed as Klebs or Tom. I've not changed to Gaffer or Boss yet. I don't know whether that'll stay the same into the next season. I'll still be in a tracksuit, but yeah, there will be a little bit more nuss about Saturday being the permanent head coach and how significant.
There you go. So he came out and spoke afterwards, and he spoke really, really well. Probably spoke better and clearer and more assertively, I think, since he's been in this role than I think we ever heard from him in his career. He says the right things. He goes on to say, I think you'll see a very different team at the start of next season. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who are the outgoings and who are the incomings, but on the basis of what we've seen and heard, and he's gone and got a result today, not pretty, not nice, but that's not necessarily, you know, wasn't going to necessarily come today, but we'll see what comes. Are you more hopeful next season with him at the helm?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the one thing that fills me with a bit of, you know, positivity moving forward is that Tom sees it. I have no doubt, whether it be today, last week, or whatever happens next week, he sees pretty much what we see. He's a modern day football. We're not going to get any piecemeal nonsense from him. He knows that what he needs, and I think he's a class act. I hope and I believe I've seen something in him that he's going to be a top manager. That's why I've said over the last couple of weeks he needed to be given the opportunity. We are looking hugely at Pozzo and Duxbury again, but God knows where that is. That the wise thing? But he needs to be supported. That's not just with players. That's with everything that goes with managing a football club. I'm disappointed to hear Jimmy Gilligan's not stepped up a bit more. I know he'll be in and around the club, so that is a crucial point. He needs some support. There's no doubt. I don't think Tom's naive or stupid enough to think that he can do it with, you know, what he's got around him at the moment. He's going to need some streetwise people to help him out, and probably a really strong number two or mentor. I prefer the mentor route personally. He can work with his colleagues that he's got there that he likes at the minute. But I know that's the one thing that fills me with positivity is that he's going to see what we see on the terraces. He's not going to suffer fools. There are a few players that might think they're a little bit prima donna-ish and can faff about, and a few of them did that today. He won't have that. And I think that, as he says, and as we've just said, we will see a very different Watford next season in lots of ways. You know, there will be different players. There'll be, you know, yes, we're not going to suddenly have money spent all over the place, but we've got to be clever. We've got to cut our cloth accordingly. We've got to be astute. We've got to look at Division 1, maybe Division 2, and look at a few rough, uncut diamonds to bring in around one or two experienced players that inevitably are still going to be there. And I hope he stamps his authority on it. All I want to see is a competitive tack, particularly at home, that look to win games. You know, as a season ticket holder this season, we as supporters have been massively shortchanged, and it's been a real hard watch this season. Some of the football has been mind-numbingly boring in the vast majority of it. And, you know, away performances have propped it up a little bit. And you know, thankfully we managed to stay in this division and we're going to be there next season. I'm glad the season's over. I'm looking forward to next season. I wish Tom absolutely all the best. He has all my support. And yeah, I look forward to the shirt being worn by players who really want to be there and are hungry and will. I think as Tom, the one thing Tom got asked, I saw a little question and answer thing he got asked, and he said the best bit of advice he's given is, does he see himself in his team and do they mirror him? And I think if he gets that right, we won't go far wrong. He was a top. Is a top hard-working player.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Rich, thank you as ever. Yeah, no, wonderful stuff. Really pleased to hear from you there. So what do we all think about Tom Cleverley? Who do we think might come in? Well, this week we spoke to AD Boothroyd. So I'll play you a couple of little excerpts from that in a little bit, but let's get to hear from people. We haven't heard from Ellie in a little while. Ellie, if you want to hit your mute button and then come on. Then we're going to be coming to Reza. Then we're going to be coming to the big Lebowski. Then Alan Lathwell. Then we're going to be coming to Rob. Then we're coming to you, Wendover. So Ellie, how
Hi,
are you?
Pete.
Hello, how are you doing? You've got a former Man United man in charge permanently
I
now.
I am so you, happy.
Oh, grief.
I am so happy.
She's happy, everybody.
Cleds obviously trained and played under the best manager in the whole of the Premier League history, I think.
You're not referring to Roy Hodgson, I'm presuming.
Absolutely fucking not.
Good, good.
That's I could right. not think of anyone worse. He obviously played and, you know, he came through the youth system at glorious Man United. And I am just so chuffed that he's in there. I think he's going to do an outstanding job. I think he will bring through the youth. I think that, you know, thank God we got a win today. It's been the longest season, I think, of us ever being Watford fans. Obviously, we take the rough with the smooth, but a win's a win and we've got to celebrate those wins. You know, 6 months ago, we were talking about being in a relegation battle and we're not. We know we're secured in the Championship for next season. Do I think we'll get promoted next season? Absolutely not. My worrying part is the fact that Pozzo's come out and said that we will always back our manager. I think that is loose lips from him.
He said what?
And he said that he would always back the managers. And he said that, you know, he's got, you know, Cleves has got his full support and stuff. And I just think that's cheap. Talk is cheap. And I think that, you know, Pozzo's have got loose lips because ultimately they've said that before, that they would always, you know, support a manager. But the minute that we hit a run of bad games, I think that we need to be really careful. I think they need to be careful with how they treat Cleves. Cleves is one of our own. You know, he's come through. He played amazingly when he was fit and when he was able to. And he's done such a good service for the club. He's a great, always been a great ambassador for the club. But yeah, I'm chuffed. I am chuffed to bits. Absolutely chuffed to bits.
Lovely stuff. It's one thing having somebody who is, how shall we say, who's come through, you know, Man United's undoubted pedigree in terms mm-hmm. of the build and playing through and indeed winning the league, you know, under Alex Ferguson and under all of his kind of development coaches there. That's one thing. But I think in a way, it's good that he was always, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to him, he was always the engine. He was never the, you know, he was never the shiny waxed coating there. He was always for want of a better phrase, a water carrier, as Eric Cantona once described Didier Deschamps, if I remember rightly.
Yes.
Because you can see that understanding that work rate, the fact that he went out on loan, not just to Watford, but he went to Leicester, he went to Wigan, he went to he was at Villa, he was at, you know, a number of places. So he knows the game and it also means he is well connected. So if people like him, and we're talking about obviously academy, the other thing that we need to box really cleverly, see what I did there? Wonderful.
Yeah, love that.
Is we need to get back into the loan market.
We do. And I think
one of the best loan players we ever had was Tom Cleverley himself. Mm-hmm. He's gone on, he's had the career, he's lived that particular experience. He knows what to do. He knows and understands the mindset of young players coming away from a big club, coming to a smaller club and what they've got to do to be able to do well there in order to take the step back up if they do and where their career goes on, similar to Greg Cathcart.
What he needs to, absolutely, but what he needs to do is he needs to have the right people surrounding him. So we need to look at squad depth for next season. We need to look at who's going to go, who's going to stay, you know, where are those patches and where are those holes that need to be filled in our squad? You know, we were speaking on transfer window day back in the summer, which seems like a distant memory ago, saying the squad's not strong enough. We're going to be in a relegation battle. We haven't invested. We haven't done. And I would like to think that Cleves has got that support in and around him. Thank God that he, you know, he knows the club. He, you know, he's come through the ranks, so to speak. The fact that Ryan Andrews scored today was like, I think, icing on top of the cake, really, for Tom. And it just seals his permanent fixture as the permanent first team head coach. I think that he will, I'd love to see him do extremely, I'd love him to see him bring back, maybe get Troy Deeney in to help support him a little bit, because those two together would be like a winning combination. I think with Troy's, you know, he was a ballsy player. He wasn't afraid to challenge a ref on a decision. He wasn't afraid to, you know, put in tackles and stuff. And I think we're missing that in the squad. We haven't got anyone that's got any bollocks to go, come on, boys, like, sort yourselves out and take that clear leadership when we're on the pitch. I think we've struggled with that. And I think that, you know, we're sitting mid of a table. I think the kids have done all right. Cleves' kids have done okay. And I think that, you know, bring on next season. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that, you know, we will see what happens, but the summer's going to be interesting. You've also got to remember, we've got the Euros. So that gives them the opportunities to look out for young players that are maybe going out on loan, or maybe looking at like players that potentially are dropping down from the Premier League.
What we've got to do is not rule out any forms of avenues where we can get players from. So, you know, talking about the youth coming through, other teams, youth teams who have got more developed players who can maybe step in on loan, exactly as you say there. And who knows, there may be something, you know, in the Euros. But the thing is that they're not going to be coming in expensively. We know we're going to have to cut the cloth accordingly. Now, it's interesting because Ellie there mentioned, you know, Cleves and the kids. Today he played Jack Greaves, who I thought I didn't think he did very much wrong. I thought we didn't really go down the right enough. When we did, he did well. But he brought him in, he's had to wait. He's come out and said he's not going to give any kind of pity debuts. But we saw this week about Albert Eames signing a contract. So there's some more opportunities there. And anyway, there we go.
Hello, this is Bill Leslie, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Thank you, Ellie. Let's get to Reza, who we tried to speak last week, but the signal was a little bit funny. Reza, are you there, sir?
Hello.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. Let me get to a quiet place. Sorry, Golden Lion again.
He's in the Golden Lion. The Golden Lion needs to get its Wi-Fi sorted. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, does it? As I was waiting to speak to you, it cut out. I'm like, oh, I'd done this last week. So hopefully we'll have a better run this time.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. What do you make of it? We talked about AD, we'll get to AD Boothroyd in a minute. We've got Tom Cleverley come in, now been made permanent. Not the greatest of games, but feel the 3 points. What do you reckon today?
Exactly. Exactly. It wasn't pretty. I'm not going to say it was pretty, but it was the result we all needed. Us fans, be it at the ground or at home, Tom, the board, the club, everyone needed that. It was a result that no one wanted. I think I read an Andrew French stat that if you could have heard Tiny Dancer 38,700 times. And, you know, it's just a stat nobody wanted. So it had to happen. And I'm glad we got the win. It wasn't pretty, but we got it. For me, I'm echoing a lot of what Rich said earlier. you know, it wasn't a pretty result, but we got it. And building on the positivity of was it Ellie who was on before me?
Yep.
Yeah, we just need to, for me, we just need to move forward. We just need to move forward from this. And, you know, this stupidly, like last week I spoke to you and I had no intention of going to Middlesbrough. I went with my brother after the Golden Lion back to Hemel for a curry and then booked two tickets to Middlesbrough.
There you go. So,
it's infectious. I forgot it was a 12 o'clock kickoff, but we'll worry about that Saturday morning. But no, for me, yes, we got the result. But going forward, I hear people talk about, I've been following Twitter this week about loans and what we could get and what we couldn't, you know, do we have to tap up United, Everton players? But I don't know. Exactly what you said just before I come on, I don't think any avenue should be ignored, be it loans from the lower leagues or purchases from the lower leagues, loans from fellow Championship or Premier League clubs or academy. You know, everything's got to be done on merit. If it's the right choice, it has to be done. And I think we need to get away from this. Everything's got to come from South America or via Mogi buyout or via the preferred routes. We never seem to go for the League One, League Two, National League, sort of rough diamonds, I think, as Rich referred to them as.
Yep.
We never seem to go for that at Watford. You know, I hear we've signed some guy, knocked in 19 goals in the Cypriot Under-19 League. And, you know, I just, part of me just stops. I think I saw that, maybe someone reported that on Twitter, backed out my tears. I read it, but, you know, it just, I don't know. But I'm really, I said I wouldn't be, but I am positive. I always do this. I'm more positive now than I was. And just going forward, I want Tom to succeed more than anything else. I want him to succeed.
Very good, very good. Well, Tom is as close to one of our own as we can possibly have. 2009, he comes on loan for a season and picks up the award, you know, for player of the season that we saw Wes Hoop play, you know, collect today, if you stuck around for it. And, you know, so he knows exactly what it is. He knows where, for want of a better phrase, the bodies are buried and what the personalities are like that he's going to have to manage. And don't get me wrong, he's going to have certain idiosyncratic hoops that he's going to have to jump through because it's Watford and things aren't done in quite the same way, seemingly, as any other club.
Yes.
Think of many people who are better experienced to do that at this moment in time than him. But there we go. I have to say, there's the applause for mindlessly booking two tickets for Middlesbrough. That's the kind of foolish mood that we appreciate. Well done, Reza. I'm very, very pleased for you.
Hopefully, I'll be calling you on the way back.
I hope so. Absolutely,
I'll be on.
So, yeah, call us from the sunny climes of the Northern A1. Wonderful stuff. Well, there's Reza there in the Golden Line, finding a little pocket of reception, which is a very good thing. Let's get to the big Lebowski, who we saw in the bunker earlier on today. Obviously, the bunker still not got an outside license yet. Let's hope that gets all sorted for them. Because, you know, Roy and everybody down there, you know, trying to work hard to generate stuff that will hopefully kick off next season. But it was a wee bit packed and rammed today as everybody stayed there. But Big Lebowski.
Sweaty bollocks, wasn't it?
Well, sweaty in there. That was clearly what I was building to. I was clearly building to sweaty bollocks, but there we are. Anyway, what did you think of
today? You're inundated in there as well, Pete. It's hectic. I'm on an old phone. I might not be able to call into space. You're like, yeah, mate.
You're sounding
25
okay.
People. No, I'm all right. I'm here. I'm a bit of a software update. And for Watford, look, let's celebrate. I'm a bit far off my 5-0 prediction. I went with a dog, but happy with that. Just to hear, did you hear the song before I Just Can't Get Enough? There was a bit of comedy in there.
Oh, yes. What was it?
Finally, it's happened to me. So I was like, where's... They haven't swapped the song, have they? Oh, that's just a bit of comedy. But wow, delighted. Delighted to get the win. It was totally scrappy. I was losing my shit in the first half because Greaves was down in front of me and he was open the whole time and there were so many opportunities to get the ball out to him.
They kept going
and
left.
And I was shouting so much. I apologise to anyone that was sitting near me because I was angry because he touched the ball about three or four times and every time it was faultless. He his control was brilliant and his distribution was brilliant and he looked like he could do something. And I thought it was very unfair on him for his debut. And as someone pointed out in the Telegram group that that maybe they were under direction not to put too much pressure on him. But I'm like, if he's on the field, use him, because as I said, he looked good. So that's a promising one for the future. And I hope Clev's probably clocked the fact that he looked useful when the few times he actually got the ball. Dennis, God, I hope Wendover's wrong about Dennis, because he is so fucking frustrating. He doesn't pass. He doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't win 50-50s. What the fuck is he doing on the field, really? It's just a waste of a man. It's like, put, you know, you might as well have Rajovic on there, dink it in at some point.
Well, at that point, I surely have to welcome Justin in the equation.
Yeah,
because
on,
every time Dennis does something bad, he turns around and just puts both arms up in the air and goes, like, it's my fault. It's me who's done it. I'm sorry, everybody. I am responsible for Dennis's disappointing game today. Justin, how you doing?
All right, mate. Yeah, that's nothing to do with you being responsible. I'm just making sure you saw it, Peter. That's all it is. I'm making sure.
Did you see it, Pete? Are you willing to accept that Justin is correct on this whole Dennis situation?
I think overall, since we've had that argument, Dennis has done nothing to help me out at all.
No, he's done nothing to help himself or the team out either, to be honest. No, I'd be devastated if we're looking at keeping him.
No, no, there's no way that's going to happen. We simply don't have the money to do it. It's going to have to be, you know, we're going to have to be going, well, for my money, we're going to have to be going for players who've got something to prove, players who are hungry. And on that basis, Justin and I and Carl dialed in from the swimming pool at one point, had just under 3 hours this week with Mr. A.D. Boothroyd. And I appreciate, like Troy Deeney, A.D. Boothroyd will on occasion split the room. Got no problem with that. But he had a team. If we go back to that 2005-2006 team and we do go through it, the podcasts will be released this coming week. Just got so much editing to do that. You know, that's the sort of spirit we're going to need to have. Are they going to necessarily be technically proficient? We don't know. But to have a team that's going to stand up and try and, you know, be counted. We can't fault the defence. This was our fourth clean sheet, I think, in five. Because I know that three of the others were nil-nil. So that wasn't great going forward. But, you know, if we can add to that defensive solidity, a little bit of bloody-mindedness at the other end with a little bit of that quality that you just mentioned there, Brett, that was, you know, academy forged in young Jack Greaves. We saw Albert Eames sign a 3-year contract this week, so, or certainly announced this week. So that's hopeful stuff. But
hey. On this subject, can we just talk about the crow in the room for a second?
Oh, go on, then. There's another one I don't want to see again, Brett.
Exactly. Look, you know, he you can't fault. He runs, he tries, but he's just got nothing. He really hasn't. And it's so unfortunate, because at least he's trying, but it just doesn't do anything, does it? And it's just, I wish effort amounted to skill, but it just doesn't. And it's so frustrating. Like our forward, and I'd also say, you know, midfield wise, it's so Klebs right now that he sorted out the defence and there's something going on in the middle, but there's nothing up front. And that brings me on to these potential rumours. Wendover has mentioned, I'll let him talk in more detail, but he said he spied a Deeney up in the box, and obviously we saw Deeney on the pitch giving the fan of the year award. But I could see a Klebs Deeney partnership, with Klebs leading it because he's far more diplomatic and controlled. But the idea that we had an attacking, fighting, Ellie touched on it, you know, the fact that if Deeney was in there, leading with those forwards and training them. And, you know, did he mention on your pod about giving Raj a bit of coaching? Brought someone in, that is very exciting to me. The idea that Deeney's in the dressing room with Klebs, I would, you know, I haven't been as excited about anything since the 90s, I'd say, if that happened.
My thoughts on that are, Brett, that I don't think Troy would ever want to play second fiddle to anybody necessarily. I just don't think that would happen. I think you're right. If we could have him to do a bit of coaching with the forwards, maybe, but I can't see him ever being assistant or a number two. I just don't.
Well, the thing is, though, Just, is that he's recently, when I heard him on Talk Sport recently talking about the fact that he wasn't ready at Forest Green and he did mess up, but Simon Jordan pressed him on the fact that, you know, he came out about that player, Forest Green, and obviously it led to the sacking. That he freely admitted that he wasn't ready for a head coaching role, and I believe that him and Klevs get on very well, so don't rule it out, mate. Would you be excited about that?
Yeah, look, if you've got someone who is Watford through and through, you know, in the dressing room with Klevs, that's got to be a good thing. But
it's like
I just
a double teamer.
I think Cleverly might feel undermined with such a big personality as Troy. I just don't think it would work, to be honest. And I think there's probably nothing in that myself, but remains to be seen. It'd be interesting to see how things progress over the summer in terms of the back room.
As the eternal optimist, I'll strongly disagree in hope. But boys, look, ultimately, we got a win at home. That's it. The Nigerian curse is broken. We can move on. Let's breathe.
Other denominations are available, of course. I apologise.
Your buttons are getting more flamboyant as the weeks go on, Pete. It's brilliant.
Brett, you go and have a good evening, sir, and you leave my flamboyant buttons out of the equation, honestly. There's Brett, everybody. Blue Cheese Brett. Lovely to see him there. Now, Brett's going to be involved in some way. We haven't yet told him what, but in the big night out coming on the 3rd of August. You've got all summer to get a bit of do not scratch your eyes out of your system. We'll be coming up with some nonsense, undoubtedly, but basically planning lots of big live nonsense live at the Pump House Theatre on the 3rd of August, where Justin, Carl and I will be physically and metaphorically probably showing our asses, but never mind. It'll be good fun, won't it, Just?
It will, yes, yes. The tickets are now on sale. If you go into the chat underneath this, what Peter calls the long forms, there is a link there to the box office. We are doing a bit of a listener survey as well, and I've dropped the link in for that as well. So if you want to give us a little bit of feedback about the podcast, then it's a quick little Google form. There's a few questions. If you don't mind filling that in, that'd be great. There's been about 70 responses so far, so that's pretty good. Yes, there we are.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff indeed. Right. Well, let's get to Rob. Now, Rob was, and I have read a couple of the survey responses, and thank you ever so much. And a few people have said, could we have slightly less non-league? As of next season, we will have slightly less non-league, but of course, it's not yet next season. Rob was going to be at Racing Club Warwick for an exciting playoff final. Rob, sir, what do you have to report other than Watford winning 1-0?
Well, first of all, people have forgotten where the roots of football have come from.
Exactly.
The amateur game, semi-pro game. Well, I was going to say, yeah. So Racing Club Warwick got promoted today.
There we go. Well done, Racing Club Warwick. This is good. Ben Foster's original club. And we're talking about where players come through and from. This is a great thing. Tell us about the game. How did it go?
Very tight. Warwick were the better team. Went 1-0 up in the first, halfway through the first half. Got a second halfway through the second half, and then conceded the last minute goal to make it 2-1 with 5 minutes of added on time left to go. So it was a bit of nervousness, but it was, yeah, it was a decent game, and they played some brilliant football. Honestly, if you're bored of watching Championship football, so they played the best passing football I've seen from a non-league team. It's brilliant.
We don't do this often, but this is now going to be literally non-league corner, where we come in and deal with everything, because we've also got not only Rob covering non-league, we've also got, obviously, Mr. Non-League himself, Alan Lathwell, who knows all things. Alan, sir, how are you and whereabouts are you? Did you get down to Watford today?
I did indeed, and I am currently
in Daventry.
I'm not. I stayed behind for the frivolous post-match shenanigans. I'm just going past Dunstable now. Ooh. And thank you, Rob, for the news of what happened between Racing Club Warwick and Aylston Park. I'm actually the director of the United Counties Football League until the end of this season. I've actually stood down after a number of years. So if I hadn't have been at Vicarage Road today, I would have actually been at Racing Club Warwick. But having given being at Watford last week to be at Alston Park versus St Neot, I chose to be at Watford today. So, but congratulations to Racing Club Warwick. They've been a really good side this year. Alston Park, who they played in the final, have come a long way very, very quickly, and they're also a very good side. I don't think they'll be far behind Warwick in terms of getting promotion up to step four. So, well done to them. They've certainly deserved it. And they've been a really good addition to the United League this year. I've met some people from the club during the course of the season. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch over at Warwick myself, but I've always had good feedback. So well done to them on winning the Premier Division South playoff final for the United Counties League.
Great news. Well done indeed. Well done indeed. And Alan, sir, congratulations on your tenure. I know you've done a lot of great work, and of course, lots of people doing lots of great work in non-league and in the leagues and in the administrative and in the volunteer side. To do that. Brilliant stuff. First of all, though, I'm going to ask both Rob and Alan here. Yeah. What are your thoughts? Tom's got it permanently. Let's start with Rob, then we'll come to Alan. Rob's got it permanently. Is that a force for good? Are you more hopeful about that? Or are you still worried? Or are you basically, you know, what are your thoughts on him getting it? Let me not lead the witness.
So, as I said the other night, I'm happy with him getting it. It's just as many other people have said, like the club itself, is it going to allow him to be the what he wants it to be? And take it forward. And there's so much stuff that needs to be cleared out. We've got a squad that isn't really good enough. People saying about Ken Sender coming back in today and looking really bad. Do we need to have a complete overhaul again, start again? It just depends. It honestly depends on Gino Pozzo, you know, and what's going through his mind, really.
Fair enough. I think that's the issue. That's the thing. Al, are you in a similar camp there to Rob? And I don't just mean Warwick, you know.
Well, yeah, it really depends. I think it's a damned if you do and you damned if you don't scenario. I think having tasted the responsibility of being a head coach on an interim basis, I really think if we hadn't appointed Tom McCleverley ourselves, he would have left in the summer and taken a similar role elsewhere. So, you know, I think for so many reasons it makes sense. I think it's the first time in the Pozzo era that we've actually recruited a head coach on a permanent basis from within. And what it does give us, it gives us somebody that actually knows the club inside out, and particularly somebody like Tom, who is so well, you know, connected in the game and so well liked, I think, having had stints at other clubs, including obviously Leicester and Manchester United and Everton. So, and I think Aston Villa. Did he play Aston Villa?
He did. He played at Aston Villa. Yeah. Yep. Well done.
So, and I think with those kinds of connections, you know, as has already been said, we need to look options in terms of attracting players next year. I think that's going to be really critical. But I think with the news that Jimmy's going to step back into the academy, I see the sense in that because it gives that clear link between the academy and the first team and the relationship that those two have, which is, you know, that's actually a very encouraging thing. But what's really important is, you know, who Tom brings in alongside him to help him next season. I think he'll bring in a couple of people myself. And like Justin, it's clear to me, I said to those that I sit with today, I said, it's ironic that somebody who's got a Birmingham City tattoo, who's a Birmingham City fan, has a Birmingham accent, but yet clearly feels way more at home at Watford than he ever did at Birmingham. And I think he would love to be involved at the club. I think that's why he suddenly started appearing a bit more frequently, other than the fact he's got fuck all else to do on a Saturday at the minute. I just don't see him being a number two either. And I'm not sure whether that would be the way that Tom would go. But I do think he will bring in a couple of faces, that for sure. With regards to today, yeah, there's not a lot to really discuss. But the one positive is really, it was a lovely goal. It was a nice bit of skill and a ball from Kone and a finish from Andrews that was as good as a striker, really. So if there was nothing else to be thankful for today, we got a lovely goal to win the game in front of the rookery from, you know, a player that's come through the academy, spend a lot of time with Tom, and there's a link there, and that's something that, you know, we can definitely be grateful for, you know, today, but not a lot else, in truth.
No problem. No problems at all. Well, look, Alan and Rob, lovely stuff. We may well have to come up with our own kind of almost spin-off show of kind of non-league roundup so that we can cover that for all the people who like it and all the people who don't. But yeah, we're always going to have a little bit of that here. Speaking of a little bit of that here, let's go across to Wendover or maybe Chesham. Who knows where he is, but it'd be Wendover nonetheless. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, mate. You all right?
Greg, what did you make of things today? 3 points at home. Who knew?
Before I kick off, Pete, there's a lad listening called Abdullah, who's a Udinese fan and very, very knowledgeable on all things Gino and Udinese. Well, and if he puts a request in...
He has. Abdullah is there in the requests.
I talked to him on Twitter and he's so, so knowledgeable on Udinese and Gino and Udinese players and so forth. So, yeah, I'm not telling you what to do, but I think he'd be well worth a listen to.
He's not telling me what to do, but he's telling me what to do. There you go, everybody. Wonderful. Never mind. Come on then. Let's get to Watford and then we'll be coming to you in a bit. Watford.
I think we started off how I think Tom wants to play. A high press, backs high up the field, hugging the touchline. And I thought we started relatively brightly. It wasn't a classic game, was it? Good goal, won it. And we've got a win. So that's all really to be said about the game, really. For me, in summary, I think there's a feel-good factor around the club at the moment. And I think we go into the summer with a bit of a feel-good factor. I think there is a base to work on. As you keep saying, Pete, we've got a box smart in that transfer window. And Tom's already hinted that he's going to suggest some loans. Look, I get criticised, you know, and my mate Justin is on, and I do remember, yes, the start of the season against QPR when I got carried away. But I do think there's a feel good feeling around the place.
The only person who's ever been carried away to more damage being done to his personal person was Pierre Issa that time when he got dropped off. Nobody said you had to take it seriously. Yeah.
If you're to build anything, Pete, you need foundations and a base, and I think we've got that. But you know that there is work to be done within the transfer market. Just want to politely correct Ellie on one point. I don't think any fans were talking about relegation. Well, I know one in Florida that was at the start of the season.
6 months ago, Definitely not.
You know, for one weekend, I think, prior to the Birmingham game, a few of us were looking over our shoulders a little bit. But I don't think there was ever any fears of a relegation this season. Yeah, I'm relatively happy, Pete. Troy was up there in the director's box today. My word, he's put a bit of timber on, I tell you.
Good man.
I don't see... Yeah, you and me can talk, can't we, Pete? I don't see him as an assistant manager. I do maybe see him... There's a vacancy with the under-18s.
And that's maybe where I was going to go.
Under-18s slash specialist forward coach, maybe. Guessing. Sorry, Peter.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm a dreadful name dropper because in this thing we get to talk to people. So of course I'm going to try and come back and let people know what was said. The role that he was when he was originally looking to come back at the start of the season, and when they pulled the rug from under him, that was when he got pissed off and went on that stupid filthy fellas thing and had a drink and did himself absolutely no favours in the eyes of many Watford fans. I've got no problem with people going, I don't like that. That's fine. But we turned around and said, what, you were coming back? Yeah. The role he was going to come back for was, quote unquote, third, fourth striker. But you know what Troy's like. He wouldn't have seen that in the long term. You know, you remember what he said to Zola when he said, Zola said, you're going to come back as my seventh striker. Yeah, okay, all right. That didn't happen, did it? So he would have been confident about trying to come through. But he was going to be taking, I think, like the under-15s or the under-14s. He's got to cut his chops. He got an opportunity because he happened to be at Forest Green. it came out, it, you know, and he was saying, I need to select what's the right role. I think you're absolutely spot on with Tom's elevation. There is an opportunity there for under 18s or, you know, depending on what's going to happen with Charlie Daniels, who's done a fine job in the under 18s and then the under 21s respectively. It's not all about results. It's not all about league placement. It's about developing players. And it, so there is definitely a potential role for that. Plus, exactly as you say, wouldn't it be good to have somebody to maybe work with the forwards as a specialist coach?
Yeah.
Justin turns around and Alan said, the delicacy is, oh, crikey, I'm going back to when we brought Nigel Pearson in. And I quoted about getting a kind of a tour around when a load of fans had gone down there to have a meeting with Nigel Pearson in two groups. And when they did one group went on a tour. And John Mark showed us the dressing rooms and he showed us the media area. And he just said, look, you know, the media teams can ask and the TV companies can ask to speak to whoever they want. Because, you know, let's face it, that's where the money is. And I went, who do they ask to speak to? Troy Deeney. And who else? Troy Deeney.
Yeah.
And who else? No, nobody. What we can't have and what they would have to get sorted between them is Tom has to be the manager. Tom has to be, and Tom has done an outstanding job in finding his voice as a manager in a very, very short period of time. Whether you think he should have got the gig or not, what he has come out, how he's handled himself in post-match, in press conferences, in post-match conferences, in the game after today, you know, Rich has, and thank you, Rich, because Rich has posted one up here where he came out and he said, it'll be a struggle to pick out the positives of that other than getting the home win. We weren't consistent enough in our work. Next season, our style of play and performances at Vicarage Road will need to be substantially better. He says, I'm going to quote Rich, he sees it as we see it, and he says it well. What you can't have is people going, that's great, Tom. Troy, what do you think about this?
And
that's something where Troy's cult of personality not goes against him, but it would have to be something that would be sorted. The other thing is, and the question becomes, as we have debated on here long and large, I'm not proposing to go through it again necessarily today, is the fact that we've had GT, had Bertie Mee, AD Boothroyd, who we spoke today and who we spoke to earlier on in the week, he had Keith Birkinshaw as a mentor. In fact, he had him as a mentor before he even came to Watford. You know, this is these are people who have been there, who have done it at literally the highest level and you can lean on. With the greatest will in the world to Troy, he hasn't got that experience and he knows he hasn't got that experience. He wants to come in, get his, you know, bust his chops and get ready for, you know, for a gig when it does come along. So I think those are a couple of things that they need to handle most certainly. But there we go. I'm sorry, I'm yabbering away.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.